During a global pandemic, how can we find comfort in the hymn, From God Can Nothing Move Me? You'll find the answer in Pastor Will Wheaton's column on Lutheran Dirges and Such in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, rapper Flame details his journey from Bapticostal and Reformed Baptist Calvinism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Tell me why.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to spend the remainder of today's broadcast with you, our listeners, via your email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, and via the Issues Etc. listener comment line. That's a line we leave open for our listeners, whether they're listening live or on demand, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382.
Well, Wilkin, based on the tenor of the email and the comment line, I can assure you that we're still in the midst of a presidential election cycle.
It's not over. Yes.
No, it's not. So why don't we begin with a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line with some criticism about you specifically.
I'm Chris from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I don't usually listen to the responding to listener email episodes because I'm troubled by the responses to callers who disagree with Pastor Wilkin or a guest. At best, they are defensive, at worst, contemptuous. But one morning, I heard the caller that is now being used as a whipping boy for anyone who criticizes. I expected the defensive quality of the response and the justification of the comments made by Mr. Mattingly. What I did not expect was Pastor Wilkin to use the left's trope of linking support for Trump with racism. I didn't expect it because it has been a topic of conversation on the show. Now, Pastor Wilkin did not go so far as to directly label the caller a racist. He just linked Trump supporters with racism, ergo the caller is probably a racist and unfit to criticize the good pastor or his friends. I would call on Pastor Wilkin to repent of his contempt for his listeners who disagree. It is particularly offensive when contrasted against the smartest listeners in radio that is always attached to the request for donations. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for the feedback. Now, let's listen to the original comment that she was referring to.
I just had to call in to respond to this week's installment of Never Trump Drivel from Terry Mattingly. A couple weeks ago, you had on the ethicist for Never Trump, Dreher, and every week we get to hear the editor-in-chief and professor of Never Trump drivel, Terry Mattingly. As far as what Mattingly characterized as some racism and responses to Trump, you cannot blame someone because of how unstable people respond to them. And you can't blame that person because the left loves to whip up people in violent response to someone. That does not make the person who's putting an opinion out there and working hard violent or someone that's divisive.
And finally, let's listen to your comment to that caller.
All right. Thank you very much for your comment. Now, I think you're quite right. Just because people get stirred up and people who may support Donald Trump get stirred up and say racist things does not make Donald Trump a racist. You are absolutely right. I think everyone who has dealt personally with the president walks away saying he is not a racist. He's a lot of things, but he's not a racist, even though some of his followers might be, and they might be kind of disproportionately vocal. So just as you cannot say that Trump is a racist just because some of his followers are, just because someone criticizes Trump doesn't make them a Never Trumper.
So those last two cuts were from email and comment line on October 15th of this year.
So I think what, to respond to the original comment that we played three comments ago, I did not and had no intention whatsoever. And I don't think in the end it even sounded like I called the caller, the Michigan caller, a racist, or even insinuated that he was a racist. In fact, I agreed with him that just because some people who support Donald Trump may be racist doesn't make Donald Trump racist. Donald Trump is not a racist man. I think that is one of the most egregious lies told about him, when there is no evidence that he is racist. Do people who support him sometimes say racist things or act in racist ways? Yes. But I imagine that's probably true for Joe Biden's supporters as well. So I think what you need to do is go back and listen to that entire segment again from October 15th. Listen both to the entire comment made by the Michigan caller and then to my response. And I think if you listen again, you'll see that I was not calling or insinuating that the caller was a racist.
Enough on that?
Yeah.
Well, we just finished another excellent interview with Pastor Peter Bender. Here's some criticism of something he had to say. Scott writes, "I really appreciate most of what Pastor Bender has to say, and I learned a lot from his interview on Lutheran day schools. It did rub me the wrong way when he repeatedly talked about how crabby he got when the staff at his church asked him to do temporal work. I agree that the pastor should not become overly distracted from his main job of teaching God's word. At the same time, the pastor is a shepherd and a servant and can't come across as if he is unwilling to do any work in the parish that doesn't involve preaching and teaching. Perhaps next time Pastor Bender is feeling crabby about having to do temporal work, he should reread John chapter 13. Our Lord took a break from teaching and administering the sacraments to teach his disciples a lesson about servant leadership by washing their feet. Also, when Pastor Bender talked about how he took his collar on and off when he talked to the leaders of his parish, it struck me as patronizing, pompous, and ridiculous. Of course, pastors have a divine call, but any one of the leaders of his church council is also able to speak the truths of God's word to their brothers and sisters in a church meeting, too. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the feedback, Scott."
I don't think Pastor Bender would disagree with you one little bit that anyone sitting in that meeting has both the right and the ability to speak the truths of God's word. Him removing his collar was not to insinuate that he's the only one in that meeting that can speak God's word, but I think he clearly said that when he removed his collar from time to time in the meeting, he was trying to clearly communicate that I'm now speaking to you my own human opinion. So don't take this as a thus saith the Lord. Don't take it that way. He's trying to demonstrate what I'm about to say is just my opinion. Take it for what it's worth. So it wasn't, and it was quite the opposite of him trying to lord his pastoral office over his people. He was in fact saying, look, apart from me speaking, thus saith the Lord, you have no reason to listen to my opinion more than anyone else's. Now to the issue of, what was the first part of that?
About doing temporal work, Jesus washing disciples' feet.
Yeah, I think what Pastor Bender expressed there was simply that he did not like being distracted from the ministry of the word and the sacraments, which is what a pastor's called to do. Pastors certainly do a lot of temporal work. I bet you, knowing that that's a fairly small parish up there, that you'll find Pastor Bender sweeping the floor on a regular basis. You'll find Pastor Bender doing those little odd jobs that need to be done in a parish. I know because I was a parish pastor, and you end up doing those things because they need to be done, and you're the guy who's in the building most of the time. So I don't think he eschews this as beneath him in any way. But I think he was talking about the situation of being overburdened with temporal concerns about the school that were distracting or detracting from his time doing what he's been called to do, which is administer the sacraments. And this is, and preach the word. And this is nothing different than what the apostles say in Acts chapter 6. If you go read Acts chapter 6, you find the apostles are getting overburdened by the work of distributing food. And they say, look, it's not good for us. In fact, they say, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. And so they suggest that the congregation choose some men to do those things who will not have the primary duty of preaching God's word, but of seeing to it that the distribution of food is fair in the early church. So I don't think he's trying to elevate himself as being above doing any kind of other work. Certainly not. And I think he's acting upon the very good example of the apostles themselves that saw that there is a temptation in the church to be distracted by the temporal affairs of the church, the temporal side of the church, and that pastors ought to constantly guard against that temptation and focus on what they've been called to do. Would that more pastors would do that, for heaven's sake. We'll be right back. Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Duluth, Minnesota would like to invite you to join us Sunday mornings at 9:30. Whether you are visiting our beautiful city or live here, we have liturgical worship that shares Jesus with you. We're easy to find at 20th Avenue East and Superior Street, and also offer Bible classes at 8:25 Sunday mornings with Sunday school September through May. Check out our website for other Bible study times, visit or call 218-724-2500.
You eat his body and you drink his blood? That's the same surprise that many people had when they first heard about the Christian faith and the practice of communion and partaking of Christ's body and blood from the altar. The November issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about the Lord's Supper, our fellowship together, our fellowship with other church bodies, and the practice of close communion. Pick up your copy today to learn more at cph.org/witness. You can also visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Independent and in the black for 12 years and running, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Is it hard? Yes. Will it challenge you? Absolutely. Is it a blessing from God for you and those you will serve? Without question.
Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
The pastoral ministry is all of these things, and that's why Concordia Theological Seminary exists, to form servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Men from all over the world with a variety of unique backgrounds come to our campus to receive faithful training that will equip them for the challenging but blessed work of serving as pastors in Christ's church.
Learn more about studying for the vocation of pastor at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Christ-centered worship, confessional theology, Lutheran community, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Tuesday, November the 10th, we're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382.
And please call that comment line also for open theme recordings.
Yeah, what you're doing while you listen to Issues Etc.
Or just, yeah, your vocation and preferably some natural sound with it. Like the current one, I think, is first-time grandparents. I always wonder, do they like pinch their babies to try to get them to cry?
Or? No, you don't have to pinch a baby to make it cry.
Yeah. Oh, all right. This comes from Carl. I wonder if a better choice than Dr. Esselin, he's talking about your interview with Dr. Esselin a couple of weeks ago on unreality.
The war on reality.
War on reality. Carl writes, I wonder if a better choice in Dr. Esselin could have been made to discuss the sexual revolution and its negative impacts today. I do not doubt Dr. Esselin's sincerity, but he seems so inwardly tortured by his own subject that it becomes unnerving for this listener. Perhaps it is Dr. Esalen's Catholicism that stymies his thinking and presents his overly dismal view of things. This world has been and always will be fallen and has had always to be approached with help from the Almighty God. The world at Noah's flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, the debauchery of Rome, the Crusades, the bombing of innocents at Hamburg and Dresden, and the rape of Berlin. On and on we Lutherans go, and every time acknowledging our weaknesses, but at the same time the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ in all these times. We should all pray for Dr. Esalen's conversion to the Confessional Lutheran Church, that he may fully experience the joy of Christ and thereby finally unburden himself. Thank you for providing your MP3 downloads. I also appreciate, for the most part, your evangelical conservatism. May Christ be with you. Thanks for the feedback and thanks for listening, Carl.
Well, I agree with your last point there about we pray for his conversion to confessional Lutheranism. We pray for everybody's conversion to the true faith, and that's a good thing. You might be happy to know that Plano?
Plano, Texas.
We were in Plano, Texas, and Dr. Esalen was the speaker at one of the speakers at our Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, an excellent speaker, by the way. And he had the opportunity not only to stick around and hobnob with our, several hundred attendees there, eat lunch and have conversations with them, which he told me he enjoyed thoroughly. He also was able to sit for our final service. And I was preaching, one of the pastors was doing the liturgy, and he got to see a Lutheran service as well. And so I hope that he could see there that there's, when it comes to, at least in liturgical practice, there's not a lot of light between Roman Catholics and Lutherans as it should be. So he's had an opportunity to hear that message. I've had many conversations with him, and I've met him and had conversations with him personally. And what you're hearing there in his tone is just his personality. He might be a little bit of an Eeyore sometimes, but it's kind of his personality to put these things with that tone. And he is an extremely well-read, intelligent man. I can think of no better choice to address the issue of the sexual revolution. And I understand how he might sound a little gloom and doom, but you need to understand you're just listening to a guy from the East Coast who that's his personality. It's not that he is defeatist. If he were defeatist, he would not be writing the books he is. He actually believes that Jesus is sitting on the throne. Not to mention the fact that, let's use one of those terms, his lived experience, he's kind of earned the right to be a little grumpy about these things. He lost his job to the woke culture and to the sexual revolution's offense in that, a teaching position that he was eminently qualified for. He has paid the price. He bears the battle scars of the battle of the sexual revolution. And so if you hear a little bit of edge in his conversation on that, he's kind of earned the right to speak frankly that way.
I'll never forget at that conference in Plano, Texas, Faith Lutheran Church and School, I think it was the hymn study. I sat next to him the entire thing in tears.
The hymn sing.
Yeah, the hymn sing, just tears flowing from his face. Of course, then I started tearing up too. He's a very passionate person.
Absolutely.
Very passionate.
And so like, what you're hearing is passion. That's, you put it better than I did. You're hearing passion in the man's voice.
But I thought you said he's fought the good fight firsthand. A lot of people sit on the sidelines, keep their mouths shut.
A lot of people in his position teaching, where was he teaching at the time? Jeff always remembers details. I don't remember details, but he had a very prominent position teaching, and he could have easily kept his mouth shut and kept his pen quiet and kept his head down and kept that position where he was teaching, but he didn't. He made the good confession publicly of the truth, and he refused to capitulate to the agenda of the transgender agenda, all those things. He refused to capitulate, keep his head down, or remain quiet, and he lost his job.
He was an English teacher at Providence College. I didn't realize he graduated summa cum laude from Princeton.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No, huh?
Yeah, so like one of the smartest people on the planet.
Brennick. Have you ever met anybody named Brennick? B-R-E-N-N-I-C-K?
That sounds like a name from science fiction.
Well, unless it's a typo. People seldom have a typo in their names, I would think, right? So it's a real name.
Well, yeah, when I'm typing, I end up typing, instead of T-O-D-D, T-O-S-S. I'm Toss. Maybe I should change my name to Toss Wilkin. Sounds like I'm
I've seen your throwing motion. I don't think that's apropos. Brennick. I love the name, by the way, Brennick. Brennick writes, "Thanks for the work you do. My wife and I listen to your podcasts daily and do indeed download them for our drives. We have especially appreciated the Hemingway's work during the election. Enjoy Pullman's work in education. Please keep it up. I currently serve as a vicar. As part of my sermon preparation, I tried to listen to a few podcasts on the text. I have two questions on using the search function, the on-demand archives. First of all, Brennick, thank you. That's exactly what Looking Forward to Sunday Morning is for, and it's not just for pastors for sermon preparation. I always say, if you don't listen to anything that we do here at Issues, etc., listen to Looking Forward to Sunday Morning. And if you attend a church that uses the three-year lectionary, listen to Dr. Carl Fakincher. If you attend a church that uses the historic one-year lectionary, listen to Pastor David Peterson. It's great to go into the divine service on the weekend having already thought about the text and the collects and the hymn of the day before you enter the sanctuary.
There's so much more that you can get out of it. My analogy is this. Before the Cardinals play a game, I go and I see, oh, what's the lineup? Who's playing where? And I like to do that little, it's a very small amount of a little bit of research, and I get more out of the game knowing what they're planning on doing. And the same is true with the divine service, even to a greater extent. You will derive so much more out of Sunday morning if you actually do a little research, which we help you do with Looking Forward to Sunday Morning. Do a little research beforehand. And when you get in there, you know how it all fits together and why the pastor's reading that reading and what's coming up in the gospel reading. And you probably have a pretty good idea what your pastor might be preaching.
So kudos to Brennick. But Brennick has a good point. One, when I search something like Pentecost 24, the search function does not flag these two terms together, but flags them as if I had searched Pentecost and 24 separately, but simultaneously. If I were to search Pentecost 10, I receive 66 results, including instances when a podcast state contains a 10 and discussions on Pentecostalism. The results narrow if I search 10th Sunday after Pentecost. The same occurs for searching Lent 5 or 5th Sunday of Lent. Is there an easier way to narrow down searches through the archives? Let me, number two is point. When I finally do find a podcast, say for Pentecost 24, the podcast webpage doesn't say Series A on it. You can distinguish between series by looking at the timestamp date of the podcast or by the one-year podcast by Peterson. Is it possible to change the search function so that someone delving into the lectionary can more easily find related podcasts? I mean, from the top down or bottom up, whether I'm trying to find out if Mark 8, 22 to 26 is in any of the lectionaries or whether I'm trying to determine what the texts for Epiphany 6 are. Thank you, and no, thank you, Brennick.
All right. The best thing for you to do, since you are a, did he say he was a seminarian vicar? Did he? You need to invest in the actual lectionary books. That way you'll never get lost. The LSB has decided to kind of do a different, the Lutheran Service Book, a different way of numbering Sundays according to the three-year lectionary. They're doing it by propers now. So you might as well get used to it if you're going to be using the three-year series. So invest in or have maybe talk to one of the nice old ladies at your vicarage congregation and ask them to buy you the 3-year series lectionary books. And you'll never question again what the upcoming readings are. You won't have to come to our search engine to do it. But there is a way to narrow your search. Let's say you want to find Pentecost 26. You can put quotation marks around Pentecost 26 in that little Google function that we have there, and it will narrow your search to Pentecost 26. That's how you tell Google, I'm just looking for this. I'm not looking for every instance of Pentecost or the number 26. So put a quotation marks around Pentecost 26, and it should narrow the search for you. As to the year A, B, or C, I do not believe, since I do this on a regular basis, I do not believe that we've ever tagged any of our Looking Forward to Sunday Morning's 3-year lectionaries with the letter of the series, A, B, or C. So you might be out of luck there.
Well, two things. Number one is, by Wednesday of the previous Sunday, we try to have both the 3-year Looking Forward to Sunday Morning with Dr. Carl Fakincher and the 1-year with Pastor David Peterson. Now, I know you probably want, as a vicar especially, you probably want to prepare more than a couple days in advance if you're a good vicar. Or you could wait like Wilkin, who's putting his sermon together, you know, an hour before maybe. So you could, on Wednesdays, they're posted as a podcast. Another suggestion, which I still think we need to figure out something to search better. So I did Pentecost 24, which he just asked about. So the first thing that comes up is Encore, Look for a Sunday Morning, 3-Year Lectionary, 4th Sunday After Pentecost, Dr. Carl Fikencher, 6/24/20. So there's a 24 in the date.
Did you put quotation marks around the outside?
No, let me try that.
Try that.
Pentecost 24 with quotes. You seem pretty confident, Wilkin. I'm a skeptic. Nothing found.
Nothing found at all.
Yeah, nothing found when I put quotes around it. So
the question might be whether it even says Pentecost 24. I don't want to get technical, but it's searching a lot of things. It's searching the title. It's searching the metadata, and it's searching
any numbers that could be in there.
And it's searching how we've tagged it, all of those things. Maybe we should make it a goal for 2021, a new goal, that we find someone who knows how Google search engine really works and have them write up a little thing that we can, you know, if you're searching, we'll put it on the page, better ways to search our archives. Because I know a little bit about how Google works, but a little bit of knowledge is usually useless or dangerous.
In the meantime, what I would recommend, the 1-year lectionary is a lot easier because you don't have a series A, B, and C, right? So, you know, Pastor David Peterson is going to be a lot easier to search for than Dr. Carl Fikencher because it took us 3 years to get through the 3-year lectionary. In the meantime, what I do is I'm like, well, we're in November, right? It was 3 years ago. We used Series A. So I'm going to search November 2017. Looking forward to Sunday morning. And that's how I usually work to post the encores. So subtract 3 years, whatever month you're in. Sometimes it overlaps, you know, sometimes Advent's in November, sometimes it's in December. But you're somewhere close to finding it if you take 2020 minus 3 in the same month. You're in the ballpark.
Right. And I'm just glad that we have such extensive archives on our website that people can have these kind of problems where they can actually say, I want to go find that. I just need to know how to find it because I know they got it someplace. And we do. Years and years and years of conversations and excellent guests and topics. We'll be right back. Explore and remember several facets of God's forgiveness with the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, Flowing from the Cross. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Flowing from the Cross at issuesetc.org. Flowing from the Cross, Six Facets of God's Forgiveness. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
Can you ever hear too much good news? Especially in challenging times, we need to hear how God is working through His church to bring truth, goodness, and beauty to the world. Hi, this is Rahema Kavuga of Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Take a break from cable news and find refreshment at interesttime.org, where you can read all about what's happening in places like St. Mark Lutheran Church and School in Konoha, Hawaii. Sign up for a free subscription and share with anyone that needs a good boost. Again, that's interesttime.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the Scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music.
Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. About 10 more minutes of your email, talkback at issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382.
You know, I'm feeling somewhat neglected, Todd, because you're sitting in a studio that has been named. We had a generous donor make a significant contribution to celebrate an individual by naming the studio in their parents' honor. But we're still looking for a generous listener to name, we'll just say, Studio B, a.k.a. Jeff's studio.
We don't want it to remain Studio B the rest of the time, so I'm sure we can find a generous donor. We are very close to finally matching almost all of the $200,000 that were given as a match for the purchase and the renovation of the new studios and offices. And part of trying to reach that match and perhaps exceed it if possible is giving naming rights to someone who's willing to give, what's the amount that?
$50,000.
Yeah. And then they get naming rights for the studio as a way of thanking God and remembering someone or something in their Christian life.
So if you're thinking about a year-end tax-deductible contribution and perhaps naming Studio B, a.k.a. no longer Jeff's studio, you can do so in their memory or honor. Just give us a call, 618-223-8385. I'd love to talk to you. Deaconess Lynn Fredrickson, I'd love to talk to you as well. And thanks, like you said, we're at 92% of the $200,000 match. Thank you so much to the most generous listeners in radio and podcasting.
Absolutely.
Email? More email?
Sure.
Okay, let's see here. Amy in South Carolina. Greetings. I discovered Issues Etc. a year ago and have been listening faithfully since. I, for one, enjoy Mr. Mattingly's weekly coverage. We need some kind of sound effects here or something like the Alleluia chorus or something. His election coverage was spot on regarding polling and the religious voter. Out of ignorance, the media habitually lumped the religious together, and his coverage is refreshingly more detailed, thoughtful, and smart. I'm looking forward to listening to more of his coverage regarding the split of the United Methodist Church from which I left to join the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Thanks be to God, and thanks to you, Amy, in South Carolina. And she concludes, your show is a blessing.
Amy, thank you very much. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your kind words about the show and about Terry as well. Terry comes in for a lot of criticism from our listeners. And like we've said, it is an election year, so people are especially on edge about subjects that revolve around our politics and especially around our President Trump. And Terry has a way of sometimes putting things that may set him a little bit on edge, but we always learn something from Terry Mattingly. Even if it's not what you want to hear, you have to admit you always learn something. He has not only the ability to describe the problem like the underreportage of religion angles in the media, but to comment more broadly on the media. It's kind of what he does. And when he comes in for criticism and you hear me defend him, look, I'm just trying to keep the Eighth Commandment. We're called by the Eighth Commandment to speak well of our neighbor and to defend him and put the best construction on everything. And I'd like to do that for every single one of our guests when they come in for criticism. But we still welcome your criticism. 618-223-8382 or talk back at issuesetc.org. But thanks for your kind words about Terry. I'm sure he would appreciate them.
And if you really want Pastor Wilkin to respond to email or the comment line, I highly recommend the latter, the comment line, 618-223-8382, because Schwartz doesn't have to read it. Plus, do you really want Jeff Schwartz botching your email that you meticulously wrote? Think about it.
Well, sometimes they don't hear the botch because it gets all cleaned up.
That's right.
Make you sound
only the
very
live
good.
Listeners.
Yeah.
Speaking of live, Mary Ann from Des Moines, Iowa discovered something. I loved hearing the morning chapel service from Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, this morning. Thank you for sharing it. Is this broadcast daily? Perhaps today was the first day I noticed the LPR message on my iPhone. I will look for the reminder again. The service has surely blessed my day. This is just another reason I try to support Lutheran Public Radio. Thank you for what you do, and thank you, Marianne, for listening in Des Moines, Iowa.
Well, yes, we've been doing a daily, that is Monday through Friday, live broadcast from Kramer Chapel at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, for a number of years now. We don't archive them the same way that we do other things because we want to. They are current. We like to keep them current, and we also would like to keep our server completely unburdened from almost an hour of extra audio every day. Those things can run into some money. But at least the last 5 days of morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, every single weekday, there are times when they take a break during student breaks, and so they take a break from chapel, but they're very rare. And you get to hear what those students there are hearing in the daily worship life of that seminary. And I think we were talking recently with Dr. Arthur just off the air, and you were telling him, you know, you really hit it on the head with a spot that he recorded for us, that the center of the campus geographically, theologically, socially, in every way, is Kramer Chapel and the Word and Sacraments that are distributed there. I'm glad you found it. It's there every single day, and we're happy to bring it to you.
And we do this because for years, actually decades, people say, I wish my church had a daily mass like the Catholics have, some kind of daily worship. So this allows you to join the folks there at Fort Wayne. You can listen live or on demand. We also post as a podcast. And you also put the bulletin insert on the website. Is it issuesetc.org? I don't remember how you get there.
Oh, I don't know. I go in the back door, so I never see what it says on the front.
It's issuesetc.org.
Kramer Chapel?
Let's see. Talk. You go, yeah, issuesetc.org. Click talk, then daily chapel. And you'll find the bulletin insert where you can actually sing along and
follow along with it.
Right. Let's conclude this email from Earl. It's been great hearing Pastor Wolfmiller's voice and talks about his experience with COVID and surrendering himself to God's will. It's even better to hear his teaching on 1 Peter yesterday. Hopefully, he'll be a regular again. May God continue to bless Issues, etc., and staff, of course, as well as Pastor Wolfmiller, as you proclaim God's word. Thanks for listening, Earl.
Well, he came loaded for bear with 1 Peter. He came and we thought we might do an hour with him, but we ended up doing 2 hours and 15 minutes with him on 1 Peter. I've always said he's one of the very best pastor teachers we have on the air, and he's a favorite of our guests. Wednesday on Issues, Etc., we'll continue our series, The Words of Scripture. We'll be talking with Pastor Will Wheaton about righteousness in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. It turns out that the Gospels have a lot to say about righteousness, and that something actually changes in the New Testament with the emphasis on God's imputed righteousness. That'll be tomorrow on Issues, Etc. We will also discuss media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Criticism.
I just had to call in to respond to this week's installment of Never Trump Drivel from Terry Mattingly.
Compliments.
I love the interviews and insights because they help me battle the slings and arrows of outrageous theology in practice.
Clarification.
Is there a point where, without baptism, infants go to heaven, and after which time they go to hell if they're not baptized?
The Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.